Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for your word and how it speaks into our lives, Lord. And as we look at being thankful this evening, Lord, that you would just reveal your truth and your heart to us, Lord, about why we should be thankful, what we should be thankful for, Lord, and perhaps some reasons why we become unthankful. So just speak into our lives, Lord, and want your word to go forth, Lord, and reveal more and more of yourself to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, I'm not going to say a whole lot of my own words this evening, but as I prayed about this lesson for this week, I said, okay, Lord, what am I going to teach on? And he said, I just really want you to go through my word and see what I have to say about being thankful and why to be thankful. And so we're going to start out, and I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures out there. And I will be reading them. I'll be giving you the references, but they're going to be short, and so it'll probably be easier to just listen than to try to flip to them all. But why do we give thanks? What are the reasons that we should be thankful? And the first verse we're going to look at is 1 Chronicles 16:34, and it says, and I'm reading out of the King James tonight. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, this is in many locations in the Word. I wrote down one of them. So, again, that's 1 Chronicles 16:34, and it gives two reasons here why we should be thankful. One is because the Lord is good. And so that in itself is a reason for us to be thankful. And second, it says, for his mercy endureth forever. And aren't we so thankful for that? Not only that his mercy endures forever, but that his mercies are new every morning. So two reasons there. Psalm 30 is where we're going to go to next. And it's verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So a third reason for being holy or being thankful is because God is holy. He is pure and he doesn't do anything wrong. And so we can be thankful for his holiness. His holiness in how he deals with us, the holiness of his word. And we can, you know, just go to the bank on that. On his holiness. And that is also in Psalm 97, verse 12. Then it says exactly the same thing. If we look at Psalm 75, verse 1, it says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. So, we are to give thanks because of his wondrous works, the works that he does. We can be thankful for that. And, of course, we see his handiwork throughout his word. We can see it today. We can see it in creation. We can see it in our lives. We can be thankful for the work that comes from his hand. If we look at Psalm 105, verse 1, this goes along with the verse we just looked at. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, so we can be thankful for his deeds and let his deeds be known to people as we're giving thanks to him. Psalm 106:1 says, praise ye the Lord, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Remember, that's the one we started with in Chronicles, and that's repeated if we go through the Psalms again, over and over and over again. But it's worthy of mentioning again, because anytime God repeats himself, we're to pay attention to it. And so, if ever we're finding ourselves in an unthankful position, we can say, okay, Lord, I need to remember your goodness and your mercy and be thankful. If we look at Psalm 119, verse 62, it says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I don't know about you, but there are many times that I awake in the middle of the night and I'm going, Lord, what am I doing? Awake, please help me to sleep. But if you're ever in that position, guess what? You can start being thankful and pouring out thanks to the Lord. And this says, because of thy righteous judgments, we can be thankful because he is a righteous God and he deals justly in every situation. He's a fair God. So we can just start pouring out thanks in the middle of the night in our sleepless hours. If we jump into the New Testament, and believe me, there are many more even in the Old Testament, but if we look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 36, it says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. We can give thanks because Jesus set that example of giving thanks himself. And what was he giving thanks for? For the provision of food. So we can be thankful for God's provision in our lives. Matthew 26:27 says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. We can be thankful for the sacrifice that he made, the cup that he was willing to bear for us. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be thankful for the victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross and through his resurrection. Second Corinthians 2:14 goes hand in hand with that one. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So it says, and this is pretty awesome, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. It doesn't say some of the times we have victory or we can triumph. It says always. That is incredible to me. And it says, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge. We can be thankful that he gives us knowledge. He makes manifest many things to us, but the mystery of Christ and his resurrection. He makes manifest his purpose, his plan for us, his will for us, and we can be thankful for that. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What an incredible gift God gave us when he was willing to give his son for us. And that Jesus was willing to leave heaven, leave all that he had in heaven to come down. And especially as we celebrate Christmas time, we know what he came into, the kind of life that he led and the kind of death he was going to die for us. It's an unspeakable gift. We can't even fathom his willingness to do that for us, for sinners. And we know that the word says that before we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's an unspeakable gift, unsearchable, incredible. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, plain and day. Ephesians 5:20, what should we be thankful for?
Everything.
All things, yes, everything. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we can be thankful that God has even made it possible for us to partake in the inheritance of Christ through his death and resurrection. We have become God's children and therefore heirs. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Another reason why we should give thanks? Because it's God's will that we do so. And Revelation 11:17 says, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. So we give thanks because God is, he was, and he will always be. We can give thanks for who God is, that he's unchanging, he cannot lie. We can just look at his very character and be thankful for his character. And it goes on to say, because thou hast taken thy great power and has reigned. We can be thankful because he's a God who reigns on the throne and rules in our lives and guides and directs and orchestrates everything and that comes into our lives. Nothing comes to us or in our lives that doesn't pass by the throne of grace. It doesn't come filtered through his hand, so we can be thankful for that. So it's amazing. You know, I know that there are times that I can be very short-sighted and I can be very unthankful, and I, you know, can say, okay, what do I have to be thankful for? And I can just, well, I'm thankful for my salvation, Lord, and, you know, and I forget. But as we look at his word, how many, you know, so many things just in a few verses that we can be thankful for. And of course, the list goes on and on so far beyond this. But in conjunction, when God says, give thanks for this, what a list, you know, his holiness, his goodness, his mercy, his works, his righteousness, his faithfulness, how he provides for us, the victory that he has over death, for salvation, for all things, as Ephesians said, and because it's his will for us to do so. That's amazing, you know, and we are to be thankful. And so those were specific verses that tells us things that we can be thankful for. And as I said, we can also be thankful in the last verse we read in Revelation, that for who God is, you know, that he is, he was, and he will always be. And so I have written out many verses that say God is. And I'm going to go through some of those verses now, because I don't know, there are just times that I need to be reminded of God's character. And so I wanted to take a look at these. And I hope that you'll be as encouraged as I am. Mark 14:27 says, it is I. And you'll remember in the Old Testament when Moses says to God, who shall I say, you know, sent me? And God says, I am that I am. You know, I am. And Mark 14:27 says, it is I. John 1:18 says, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. So the Son is with the Father. I'm assuming this is 1 Corinthians 4:4, says, Christ, who is the image of God. So he is the image of God. Psalm 54:4 says, God is my help. Psalm 54:4 also says, the Lord is the one who sustains me. Psalm 55:19 says, God, who is enthroned forever. He's an eternal God. Luke 1:59 says, holy is his name. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jude 24, him who is able to keep you from stumbling. That's an incredible promise. Jude 25 says, who alone is able. He can handle anything that comes our way. Hebrews 2:18, he is able to aid those who are tempted. First Peter 1:16, be holy for I am holy. God is a holy God. Psalm 62:2, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. We can stand on him. He's solid. He's never going to change. Psalm 62:8, he is our refuge. Ever feel like you're in a storm? Boy, I do. But we can always go to God to be our refuge. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If there's things that come into our life that we question, should this be there? We can go to God and he's going to shed light on whether it should be there or not. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Numbers 14:18, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy. What a patient God we serve. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord is my helper. Judges 6:12, the Lord is with you. Luke 5:13, I am willing. I thought that was kind of neat. You know, he's willing. Willing to come to us, willing to aid us, willing to save us. Exodus 3:6, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Isaiah 43:3, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43:11, I, even I, am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. Ever question? Is there any other way besides God, besides Jesus? No. There it is, plain as day. There is no Savior besides me. 1 Corinthians 6:19, be holy. Oh, I'm sorry. That was 1 Peter 1:16. Be holy, for I am holy. I already read that one. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Holy Spirit is in you. I know sometimes the enemy likes to condemn us, especially on the point of the Holy Spirit. And there's a promise. The Holy Spirit is in you if you are saved. Matthew 29:20, lo, I am with you always. Sometimes we wonder, does the Lord ever leave us? You know, he promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. And here we have, lo, I am with you always. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Is it important to pray together? Yes, it is. Luke 6:5, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Is it important to come together to church? It is, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Hebrews 10:23, he who promised is faithful. Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken. Incredible promise. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 31:6. The Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Revelation 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. John 14:18. I will come to you. He is returning. And Lord, come quickly. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27:1 also says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Feel weak? The Lord is your strength. Psalm 73:26. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. Ever feel like everything's coming against you? Well, circumstances might be, but there's one who is always on your side. 1 Corinthians 15:18. Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 10:17. The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. Ever feel like you're not good enough? He's not. He doesn't show partiality. Hebrews 11:16. God is not ashamed to be called their God. He loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been, who you are. He's not ashamed. If you've accepted his Son as Savior, not ashamed to be called your God. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 83:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. 2 Corinthians 2:9. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Ephesians 2:14. He himself is our peace. Exodus 34:14. You shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. He wants you to serve him and him alone. Revelation 1:17. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Hebrews 12:23. God, the judge of all. And we talked about how he is, makes righteous judgments. Hebrews 12:24. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus is our mediator. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will finish what he has begun. Isaiah 9:6. He is mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. Revelation 1:18. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We can run to him. He's our strong tower. Deuteronomy 30:20. The Lord is your life. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. An awesome God. Deuteronomy 32:4 also says, he is a faithful God who does no wrong. He is upright and just is he. Psalm 25:8, good and upright is the Lord. John 10:9, I am the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14:6. Joshua 2:11, for the Lord God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Joshua 4:24, the hand of the Lord is powerful. Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake. Why did he save us? For his own sake. Incredible. Psalm 18:31-32. For who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Hebrews 10:23. He who promised is faithful. I think I said that one before. Forgive me if I repeat some of these. Psalm 145:9. The Lord is good to all. Romans 10:12. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Psalm 99:4, the King is mighty. Psalm 121:5, the Lord is your keeper. Psalm 121:5 also says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Ever feel like things are a little hot? He's your shade. Exodus 48:35. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Hebrews 13:8, and I believe I read that already. Ezekiel 48:35. The Lord is there. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. 1 John 2:2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Hebrews 11:6, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I know we did a portion of this one, but I'm going to read a little bit more. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. 1 John 4:8, God is love. And we will finish with Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. Need a reason to be thankful? There you go. It's amazing, you know, when you really look at who is this God that we serve. It's amazing. And why don't we give thanks? You know, when we look at who he is and all that he's done for us, in his character alone, we should be thankful. But as we're coming into this Christmas season, and we look at Jesus' birth, I think we find a reason in there as to why we don't always give thanks. And I'm going to try to get there quickly if I can. You can turn here if you want. Luke chapter 2, very familiar when we look at Christmas time, the Christmas story, of course. Luke chapter 2, the story of Jesus' birth. We're going to start right in verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And again, I'm reading from the King James. "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And that there, I believe, is the key to why we become unthankful. There was no room in the inn for Jesus. Things were so hectic in Nazareth at this point. In Bethlehem at this point, all these people were coming to be taxed. The innkeepers were being bombarded with people. And if we look at this in our own life, we can say there are many things that go on. Busyness, chaos, you know, everyday life, normal life. Gets busy, 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 and guess what happens? There's no room in the inn. We can say that the inn is like our heart, you know, and we can push Jesus and everything that has to do with him aside so that we can do everything else, you know. And and not make room for him, not make room for him in our day, you know. Not make time to read his word. And when we don't make room for him in our lives, when there's no room in the inn, guess what? We become unthankful because we forget who he is. You know, when we're not in his word, when we're not seeing who he is, and poring over his character and all that he's done for us, we can become unthankful because we start looking at our circumstances and we start looking at the next thing on the schedule and we start looking at where I need to be or who I need to talk to or what I need to make or where I need to go, and then our eyes come off of the Lord and we have no room for him in our day and our schedule, and we become unthankful. And I'm going to continue on. We know the remainder of the story, of course. The shepherds came and all of that. But I want to flip ahead to sorry, I should have written this down. But I want to flip ahead to verse 21. "When 8 days were accomplished," Jesus is now 8 days old, "and so the days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So here we have Simeon, who has just been waiting. He was told he would see the Christ before he died. And the Spirit brought him to the temple when Jesus was there. And what does he do? He blesses God. He praises him. He gives thanks for this one who came. And that's what we need to do. We need to be thankful. And then if you move down to verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This is a woman who was devoted to God and his purpose for her life. She, coming in that instance, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. So this is one who spent her days from the time her husband died in the temple, serving God. She prayed, she fasted, and as soon as she saw Jesus, she gave thanks for him. And so if we are always keeping our eyes on Jesus, if we're remaining steadfast, if we are making room in the inn for Jesus, we should be giving thanks. And we can be giving thanks, and we will have a thankful heart. And so I wanted to close with that just because we're coming into this holiday season and it can become very, very busy and crazy, and we can very quickly make no room for the real reason that we celebrate this season. And so just want to remind us all to be thankful, to keep our eyes on him. And again, if you're having trouble being thankful, just look at his word, because there's so much in there that gives us the reasons as to why. Again, his goodness, his mercy, his holiness, his works, his righteousness, his provision, the victory over death. And again, that Ephesians 5:20, we can be thankful for all things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and how you just, scripture after scripture after scripture, gives us reasons to be thankful, Lord. And so I pray in those times, Lord, when perhaps our eyes are on our circumstances, Lord, and we become unthankful, Lord, that you would turn us back again to your word, Lord, and help us to be thankful, Lord, and to remember all that you've done and the so many reasons that we have to be thankful, Lord. And in the sleepless hours sometimes that we have, Lord, that you would set our mind on you, Lord, and we would just pour out praises to your name, Lord, for who you are, Lord. And we, again, thank you and give you praise this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.